Verse number 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he, that is Jesus, passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, remember, lepers in those days, leprosy was a very common ailment. And leprosy then and now is a tremendously contagious disease, and it was uncurable. It got progressively worse, and there was no medical cure. And so the law, the Jewish law, was if you were a leper, that you could not come near other people. That's what it means when it said they stood afar off. That if you lived in a colony, there are leper colonies, or if you were not bad enough where you lived in a colony, you could not have contact with other people, because any kind of touch was, you know, was tantamount to getting the disease. And it was against the law, and the punishment was swift and sure to a leper who got himself close to somebody else. It was up to the leper to stay away. So here's 10 of them. Apparently they've got their little group. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Now, what are they expressing here? They're expressing a faith in a sense, aren't they? That they believe Jesus has the power to help them, and so they're calling out to him. Help us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go show yourselves unto the priest." Priests. Now, the reason for that is that God had given the Jews in the Old Testament law, if you go back in Leviticus and read this, you will read where the laws are given concerning leprosy. And in the event that a person had leprosy and then had been cured for whatever reason, either miraculously or the leprosy just for unexplainable reasons had disappeared, he had to go not to the doctor, but he had to go to the priest to have the priest examine where the leprosy was, and the priest had a routine that he would go through in order to determine whether the leprosy was still alive or whether it was dead. And all of those, when you read through the Old Testament, you will see all of those rules are given. The priest was instructed as to what he was supposed to do in order to determine whether this man was still contagious or not. So when Jesus said, "Go show yourselves to the priests," what he was in essence saying is, "You're healed, now go get it confirmed. Do things legitimately." Now, you've got to understand here that these lepers are looking at themselves and looking at each other. This man Jesus has just said, "Go show yourself to the priest," which means I'm going to show myself to the priest and I'm going to say, "Priest, I've been healed of leprosy. I want you to confirm it." But wait a minute. Your face is still half, it's all scabs and everything. I mean, you're going to look stupid going to the priest and saying, "Hey, priest, I'm cured." Because as yet, there was no evidence at all. They were still leprous. Because the verse says, "And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Notice that when Jesus spoke the word to them and said, "Go show yourselves to the priest," essentially saying, "I grant your request, you're healed," they had to take that word only. There was no other evidence. Now, when they turned from wherever he was, when they turned and started toward the priest, what were they doing? They were expressing their faith that he said I was, therefore I am, even though I still can see the oozing wound on my arm. I can still see it. I can see it on your face. I can see that your ear is half eaten off by that leprosy. But he said to do it, and so I'm going to be in obedience, and I'm going to do it. And as they were walking, they were releasing their faith, And their faith brought forth the healing that Jesus had proclaimed, and as they went, they were healed. Now, had they said, well, when am I going to get my healing? He said, go show yourselves to the priest. Well, when am I going to be healed? It's over then. I mean, it's completely over. Had they said, well, I look stupid because I still hurt. Had they said, well, I can't go tell the priest I'm healed because that would be telling a lie. Hello? Is that right? Well, you know, I know you're Jesus. I know you're the Son of God and all, but I didn't feel anything. All I have is a little sticky oil on my forehead. Drawing an analogy to this morning. That's all I have. Boom, but I still hurt. Boom. Salvation comes by faith. Healing comes by faith. Deliverance comes by faith. All comes by faith. It's all given, but it's received by faith. This is why you preach the gospel to 100 lost people, you might get one or two get saved. What's the matter with the other 98, 99? God doesn't love them? Why is it when you have a prayer line and you pray for people to be healed and you pray for a dozen people and one person gets healed and the other 11 do not? God looked down from heaven and said, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a good person by the toe. No. But see, we act like that, don't we? I mean, that's really how we think, even though we wouldn't admit it, because we act that way. As they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, get this picture. You've got 10 lepers. And they're all on the way to the priest. They all still have their leprosy. As they went, they're cleansed. It's gone. Oh, I don't hurt anymore. Oh, yes! Whoa, yes, it works. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, this is basically what's happened. They didn't get it there. They got it on the way to the priest. And when they saw the evidence. See, Mark 11, 24 says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And so many of us, we live in this place where anything that we can't see or heal or hear or feel or smell or taste right now is not real to us. Because we're so controlled by our natural senses. And sometimes you can come forward in a prayer line and you can get prayed for. And sometimes people fall down. Sometimes people feel something. Woo! You know, like feel the power of God. Other times you feel nothing. But I've got to say, none of that makes any difference. Whether you fall down, whether you feel something, whether you get tingles down your spine, whether you experience anything in the natural at all, whether you smell holy smoke, you ever smell holy smoke? Whether you see the Shekinah glory of God, you can come in a prayer line, feel absolutely nothing, walk away whole, and the person who got knocked out and come up speaking in tongues walks away, gets nothing. Except just a wonderful touch from God, but did not get what they came for. Because it's all by faith. You know, use this as an example. You're going to have two people come forward in an evangelistic service where the gospel is preached and you're preaching to the lost and you have two people come forward. They both come to the altar One person is squalling and bawling and just, you know, snotting. You know how that gets. I don't mean to be crude, but I'm trying to give you the, you know, you understand what I mean. Just having a real emotional experience here at the altar. The other person is just doesn't seem to, you know, have any kind of emotion at all. But the person who is squalling and bawling gets up and leaves, got nothing. And the person that had no visible expression of any kind of sensual touch of any kind walks out a changed person, and the life is completely different from then on. Why? Because it's not the squalling and the bawling, it's not the falling under the power, it's not the goosebumps, it's not the hair standing on end, it's not the demonstration. It's the reality of what you believe. And what you believe is expressed in what you say. Well, I don't feel saved, then you ain't. If I ask you, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven, and you say, well, I surely hope so, or you say, well, some days I think I am, some days I'm not, you're a person who needs a Savior because you don't know Him. If you've been born again, He's living on the inside, and you don't have somebody living inside you, and you don't know He's there. The Scripture says that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if the Holy Spirit is not bearing witness with your spirit, then you are basing your eternal life on a bad assumption. As they say in the woods, you're barking up a tree where there's no coon. And the same thing is true with regard to all of these other aspects of the blessing of God. If you are believing God for your healing, but instead of thanking Him and praising Him and magnifying Him because of that which has been promised to you, you are moaning, complaining. I'm not talking about denying the fact of how you actually are. I'm not saying, well, I'm looking at my leprosy, but I'm saying the leprosy is not there. It's there. It's there, but thank God I'm healed. You understand the difference? I'm not talking about denying the reality of what you're experiencing, but I'm talking about what you're looking at. You're looking at your son, Jeanette. He's, what, 9? 9 years old. But you're seeing something in him more than what he is at 9. You're seeing the future for him. What you believe that boy is going to turn into, what kind of a young man he's going to become. I don't think that you see him behind bars, do you? You don't see him running a ring of drug dealers, do you? So you don't talk about that, you don't think about that, do you? Because you don't see that. You see something else, and that's what he'll become. So if you see yourself laying on a hospital bed, you might as well call and reserve a room. Because you're going to need one. If that's your perspective, and that's the difference between faith, believing, truly believing, and hoping, wishing something is going to happen, something's going to take place. Healing is just as real is the new birth. Just as real. Just as real. Just as sure. Just as certain. But it's received the same way. So, if I could say it this way, would you understand if I said, watch your mouth? If I say, watch your mouth, you understand what I mean? Watch your mouth. Watch what comes out of it. Be careful what you allow to come out of it. Watch also what you allow to go in. Jesus talked about a person being single of eye, that his whole body will be clear. But a person who is not single of eye, in other words, is uncertain about, well, yeah, I thought I got healed because I really felt something when they prayed for me. I thought I got healed, but I guess I was wrong. you're not going to have anything that's going to be permanent. Now let me tell you something. This is very important. If God's word is true, turn to Psalm 12. Verse number 6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." God's word has been through the fire. The thing that hasn't been through the fire, that hasn't been tested yet, is your faith. The word's been tested. It's going to work. The thing that hasn't been tested, it's in the process of being tested. That's why James says, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying or the testing of your faith produces patience, constancy, endurance, perseverance. And let patience have her perfect work." So life is a test of faith. One test to another, to another, to another. Because our faith is not proven. It's not tried. His word is tried. And if his word is tried, and his word is tested, and his word is pure, then know this. He said, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church," James 5:14, "and the elders will pray over him and anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Now, get this, shall save the sick. Now, what happens when you call for the elders, you come forward in a service like this, the elders come forward, we anoint you with oil, we pray the prayer of faith over you, and when we pray for you, we're praying a prayer of faith, believing God for you. Do you know what happens to you at that moment? The power of God is ministered to your body. The power of God is delivered to you right then. How do I know that? Because every word of God is pure. You say, "Pastor, did you feel anything? What's up with that?" What do you mean I feel anything? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. I'm not going to tell you if I did this morning, because it doesn't make any difference to you or to me. The only thing that makes any difference is what he said and what we did. Now, if every word of God is true, then the power of God is delivered to you when the anointing of oil is laid upon you and when the prayer of faith goes over you. The power of God is delivered right then. Now, if you believe that, then you will do what the lepers did. Jesus said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." They did. What you will do is you will thank him for what he said he was going to be doing for you. You will praise him for it, as yet unseen. How many of you have ever sung the song, "When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, when we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory." We've all sung that song. Anybody ever been there? You ever seen it? Why do you sing that? I mean, what do you sing a crazy song like that? What would possess you? The promise of God possesses you. You believe that one, see? And so you sing about it, you talk about it, you think about it, you thank God about it, you talk to the guy who comes to fix the drain on your sink about how great it'll be to, you know, to we're going to dance those golden streets and all that kind of stuff. That's your faith being expressed. That's your faith talking. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, the mouth speaks. And there are times when, there are times in this life, let's face it, where heaven can seem a long way off. But yet in your heart of hearts, you know that you know that you know that you know. I have to say to you, when you get to the point, I should say when we get to the point, where we believe healing like we believe salvation, it will be just as simple, just as sure, just as regular, and just as routine. It's there and it's provided. I have to tell you, the message that I had intended to bring to you today was not this one. It was essentially this. It was a lot of stuff I was going to show you in the scripture, but I will show you this part. Go to Genesis chapter 3 just a moment. Genesis chapter 3. And let's see, before we go there, let's look at Genesis 2:15. And the Lord God took the man, that would be Adam, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord, you know, the first man was a farmer. Did you know that? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Okay, now, God has given his word. You can have anything, everything, except this one thing. If you eat that fruit from that tree, you will die. That's it. All right, now go to Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. The devil is very, very cunning, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, he knows who to use to get to you. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Now, what's the devil doing here? He's casting doubt upon the word of God, isn't he? Every time the word of God is opposed, resisted, denied, attacked, doubted, it's always the devil. Always it's the devil. Remember that according to Romans 1:16, the word of God is the power of God in the earth. Let me say that again. The word of God is the power of God in the earth. The word of God does not contain the power of God. It is the power of God. You remember what he did in the beginning. He said, I think I'll make me some light. Now, what do I have around here that I can use to make me some light? I think I'll take this napkin here and I'll make a sun out of it. No. He didn't have anything to make anything out of. Ex nihilo, he made everything out of nothing. Well, where did the power come from to violate the first law of thermodynamics that says that matter may not be created or destroyed, but only changed from one form to another? You all studied that, didn't you, in school? Where did he get the power to make something out of nothing? No one has ever done that. The power is in his word. He said, not I will make light, I'll take something and make it. He said, let there be light. And there was. And then he said, let there be a firmament, a heaven, an atmosphere. And there was. The word of God is his power. This is how his ability is released. It's in his word. Now the devil knows that. He knows that better than we do. And so what he does is attack it. He attacks the word. Because if he can attack the word successfully, then he can eliminate the ability of that word to produce in your life. Example. The Word of God says, out of the lips of Jesus, I am the way. The devil brings a guy along in 600 A.D. by the name of Muhammad and says, well, he's not the way. Who sponsored that? The devil sponsored that. You go home this Christmas and visit your family, and you're telling your family about how you've given your life to Christ and what a wonderful thing he's done in your life, and how he's, you have discovered that he's the only way to God the Father, and your saint, your lovely mother says to you, well, I just don't believe that. I believe there are lots of ways to get to God. Where'd that come from? Always the devil, no matter who it is that says it. Remember, in this case, who said it to Adam? You know the story. Who told Adam this thing? Eve did. Used his wife. But it's always the devil. Always the devil. You pick up a book and it throws confusion into what you know the Word of God says. It's the devil. It's always the devil. Always. He hates the Word of God because that's the power of God. And the way he emasculates the kingdom of God is by opposing, denying the Word of God. Yea, hath God said? Does the Word of God really say that healing belongs to us? But see, my preacher coming up, if it's God's will, he can do it. It's always the devil. I want you to understand, it's always the devil. If the Word of God is denied, rejected, resisted, opposed, or doubt is cast upon it in any form, it is always the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and powers, etc., etc. Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, now this was her first mistake, we may eat of the fruits of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, that is the one of the knowledge of good and evil, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Now, here's a woman who did not know the Word of God. Now, I don't know why she didn't know the Word of God. Maybe her husband was not faithful in passing along the Word of God to her. Maybe her preacher, are you listening? Did not faithfully represent the Word of God to her. Are you listening? That would be Adam in this case. Or perhaps she just came up with this on her own. Adam said to her, now, sweetheart, we can have anything out here, but God says we can't eat of that tree. And she adds to the Word of God, we can't touch it either. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. You can touch it. You can fondle it. You can have a bowl of them sitting on your, you know, your buffet table. But you can't eat it. Are you listening? And what did the devil do? He cast doubt in her mind about the authenticity and the genuineness of the Word of God. And he got her in some way to add something to the Word of God. And the serpent said unto the woman, and now he gets really brazen, he says, you shall not surely, well, God doesn't heal everybody. Well, God used to do that, but he doesn't do that anymore. See, same thing. Same thing. You know, there's a lot of demonic preaching coming forth right now and from pulpits all over our country. You know that? Through the lips of good men of God. It's the devil. It's always the devil. Yea, hath God said, the prayer of faith shall save the sick? Yes, but I didn't feel anything. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, oh, this is so reasonable, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Where's she getting her information?
tuned into the wrong thing.
Yeah, I know, but where is she getting her information? But how is it gaining? How is it coming into her person? Through her senses. You see it? Through her natural senses. She looked at it. She said, whoo, that's so beautiful. It's so pretty. Oh, it looks so good. It's going to be good for food. Pleasant to the eyes. A desire to make one wise. She took and she ate. She gave to her husband his. He ate. And then they got what? Not what God had promised them, which was eternal life. What they got was death, which is the devil's payoff. Every word of God is what? Pure. Every word of God is pure. You can depend upon it. It is so pure and so filled with power. Now think about this. Peter and the disciples were in a ship one night, middle of the night. Here comes a ghost skimming along the surface of the water. Peter says to this ghost, "Is it you, Master?" Jesus said, "It's me." Peter said, "If it's truly you, bid me to come to you on the water." Jesus said one word. He said, come. Come. Now, every word of God is pure, and every word of God is imbued with power. Jesus said one word. The word was come. I mean, that's not even a spiritual word. I mean, that's not a holy word. There's nothing King James about that. I mean, it's not even a wherefore, therefore, how for. It doesn't even have any THs on the end of it or any SDs. It's not very religious at all. Come. He says, come. And so what did Peter do? He got out of the boat. He's on the water. He's walking. Hey, guys. Whoa, cool. Look at me. See, the power of God was in the word, come. And there was sufficient power to hold him above the waves as long as he believed and acted upon the word. When he believed it and he acted upon it, he got the result. Now, that's wild, walking on water. That is a wild, that's a weird thing, they would say. That's a weird thing. How could that possibly happen? The word of God caused it to happen. And he activated that power by his faith. Now the scripture says, as he's walking on the water, he got out of the spirit and into the flesh, and he got looking around, and he said, whoa, wait a minute, what am I doing out here? The waves, you know, this is really stupid. Gosh, but I still hurt. Got it? Oh, I still hurt. I guess I'm not really walking on this water, even though I thought I was. I guess I'm not. And bingo, you know what? He's not. Down he goes. Jesus said, wherefore did thou doubt? Every word of God is true. And the devil will use everything and anything he can. In that particular case, he used Peter's senses and he used the waves to oppose the word come, and it caused him to sink. So I say to you today, be healed. Be healed. Be healed and be healed and be healed. Now if I had the power to do an abracadabra, I would do that. If that worked, that won't work. I'm just doing what will work. And if I had the power to do it all by myself, I would do it all by myself. In fact, I'd go heal people who didn't want to be healed. I would. Wouldn't you? but God did not make me God.
Thank God.
Aren't you thanking God? Because I wouldn't make good decisions like he did. His disciples said to him one day, "Say, we just came through this town and they didn't welcome us. Should we go back and call down fire on them?" I'm not sure which disciples it was. I want to say it was the Sons of Thunder, but yeah, was it? Right? James and John, the sons of Barogenes, or Sons of Thunder, he called them. Very impulsive.